Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, what I was saying is, there's a scripture that says, "I hath not seen nor ear heard or entered into the heart of man the things that God has given to us." Some of them, most of them are inside of us, and most of us at this point, or some of us, I won't say most, but some of us don't even have a clue. You know, men pursue careers and do all kinds of things and pursue all kinds of things, but usually God's plan is just the opposite. The things that you think you're good at in the natural probably has nothing to do with what God has for you to do. I'm talking things you learn, things that you train for in the natural. God has put spiritual gifts inside of each one of us to learn to cultivate those things. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The title of this is the prelude to coming out of the matrix. The matrix is a system that we've all been conformed to from birth, usually for most death. But God has a plan, independent of that plan. And that plan's on the inside of you. And we have to make it a priority that we are going to find out what God has for us to do. And it's up to us. Nobody else can do that for us. Not the preacher, not the church, not anything else, except your relationship with God. So that's what we're going to look at today. Breaking the world in its systems matrix and tuning into God's ways of doing things and what He has planned for us, because you were born for a purpose. You were not an accident. And God put a pre-programmed chip in you, if you want to say it like that, that you can tap into as you begin to mature. Until I was 40 years old before I ever realized I was called to ministry. Didn't have a clue. Thought, oh no, I don't know. God didn't put nothing in me. Oh yes, He did. God don't make no junk. And He doesn't make anybody that doesn't have something to do with His kingdom, because His kingdom is coming. And it's going to be forever. And it's going to be wonderful. And He wants you all to be a part of it. You all have a part in it. All right. This is the prelude coming out of the matrix. You can help them with Matthew 2. This is Sunday morning, 12:24:33. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Y'all there? All right. Verse 13 says, "And when they were departed," this is after Jesus' birth, and Jesus was born into the earth to be the Savior of the world, and so everybody was trying to kill Him. Herod was after Him. "And when they were departed," that's His parents, "the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt." He didn't come back out of Egypt until Herod died, until the harm was passed. Egypt represents the Babylonian money spell system that we've all been entrapped in our entire lives. We've been bound in this system all the generations before us to this present day. We're no less bound than the bunch that Moses led out of Egypt. They were slaves. So have we been under the system. It all started with the fall in the garden, and it just wasn't for Adam and Eve. It wasn't just Adam and Eve. It has affected all of us, every single one of us. That fall, that day, affected all of us. That's why we have an enemy to contend with. And I'll tell you, God has something special for you, inside of you, for you to find out what it is. But let me tell you, just like Herod targeted the baby Jesus to try to take Him out, he had all baby boys killed from 2 years old and under. The devil will do whatever he can to sidetrack you and send things into your path to keep you from moving forward. But you know what? He can't stop you. He's not more powerful than God. And in the name of Jesus, Revelation talks about we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We love not our lives to the death. In other words, we have these powerful things that God has given us that overthrow the devil. Jesus overflowed the devil. It says he put him to shame, he paraded them around like they do when they conquer somebody. They come in and conquer somebody. And they'd strip them of their crown and of their weapons, and they would parade them around naked in front of everybody. That's what Jesus did to the devil when he died and went to hell. Stripped the devil. So with the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, you have everything you need to succeed against him. No weapon formed against you will prosper. All right, with that, turn to Matthew 24. Come on in. We have another Bible.
Yes.
She says she'll use her phone. All right. This is Matthew 24. We're going to look at verse 21 and 22. Jesus is talking here about the days that we live in. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So in the days that we live in, God will shorten the days, because if it continues like it is, the darkness would totally overtake. All right. Night and day, they think up new ways to deceive us. New taxes, new fees, like the tax of the rain that falls on your property. The agenda is to kill, steal, and destroy through all seven mountains of culture. Totally. Revelation 17 talks about this system. It's not a man that's going to show up one day and say, I'm the beast. No, that's not the way it happens. It's been around since the fall. Go to Revelation 17. We're going to read about it. Now you can tell people that I understand Revelation. Revelation just means disclosure. You've heard that word, disclosure. It just means the Lord didn't keep anything back from us. We're well informed. Right, verse 1 there, it says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, seven, having seven heads and ten horns. You know, I just told you, the seven mountains of influence. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a gold cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. When he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is the seven and goeth into perdition. The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall have give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples in multitude, the nations and tongues. So here the beast system is a system. It's not just a person. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Babylon. This is the system in which we live, and this where we've, I mean, there's no place on the earth that hasn't touched. Many have been raised up in this generation to combat this evil. That's what we're witnessing today. But in one way or another, they have been squelched by this evil system. Throughout the 6,000 years that we know of, there have been those that have been raised up, and they did some good, but they couldn't do what this generation has been called to do. All right? They have made us all drink or think that this is normal. People are brainwashed today thinking this is all normal. We just want to go back to normal. Isn't that what they said when they came out of Egypt? Oh, we'd rather go back to Egypt. They were the flesh pots, you know. We just wanted to go back to normal. It's never going back to normal. It'll be a new normal. They have wiped out our history so that we could not have a reference point of where we even are in our timeline. Think about that. His story. He who has the power writes the story. Yeah, that's exactly what's happened. His story is what they have fed us, sadly. Most believe it. Most believe whatever they're told, whatever they've been taught. How do we find out the truth? Well, we have God in us, the Holy Spirit in us, the Word of God in us. Jesus talked about this in one of his parables. This is Luke chapter 9, verse 10. I never saw this. I was sitting there yesterday. I had read my Bible, and all of a sudden this comes to me, so I begin to write it down. This is the cartoon before the movie. That's the prelude here. Luke 10. I never got this parable until yesterday. Now I'll share it with you. Luke 10, 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came from a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will pay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? This is what the Holy Spirit said to me. The days of the priest and the prophets couldn't do it. The two days. The 2 days of the Levites couldn't do it. But the 2 days of the born-again church, blood of the Lamb, the name of Jesus, are the ones that will do it. This last generation will do it. They're the ones that are not churchy. They have compassion. Who took care of the Samaritan? Jesus. 2 days. the end, 2 days. That's 6,000 years. If you look at the parable, all right, the body of Christ is the last day church, and they will prevail. The enemy will not. Don't listen to the glooming and the dooming. Revelation 11, 12, we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Jesus came out of Egypt, called us out of Egypt. God has called us out of Egypt, out of the system. And I was going to say something. I was thinking about it this morning. You remember, Dan, it's been a year or so ago, you said that when you traveled, the Lord gave you a prayer to pray over the area. Well, this per se, even though we're incorporated as a church, we're not really a church. We are an apostolic team. What apostolic teams do is they go in and they proclaim and they rout out the enemy and make the ground to a place where the evangelist can come in and bring the gospel. They preach the gospel also, but they also, get the rocks and the sticks out so they can begin to build God's church. That's what an apostolic team does. So through spiritual mapping, that's what these petitions are. Sometimes when you pray in the Spirit, the Lord will give you a direction or something to say or something to speak. Or when you read the confessions, the Holy Spirit will begin to lead you in a certain way and have you speak things a certain way. This is spiritual mapping. Apostles are God's generals. And they have teams. And that's how Paul and his teams operated. That's the way the church is supposed to be. And God's returning his church to the proper foundation. All right. That's the end of the prelude, then we'll get to the...